It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, one and all. It is January 11th, 2021. 2022! Don't want to mess that up. But hello, hello. Welcome back, Leon G, MJD, Havoc, Acid Apex. Hey, I haven't met you before. Boku Monkey, Shriver. Oh, wow. Lots of cool people in here. Publius, X1. Hello, hello, Ratsu. Thank you so much for being here. Oh, man. So, I've got the new microphone. We're just going to power through it, and I'll listen to it, and then I'll adjust the studio based on how it sounds. But we'll go through it. So, hello. If you want to be cool, like everyone that got a shout-out at the beginning of the show, all you need to do is SSH over to sdf.org, and from there, you'll want to go ahead and launch com, C-O-M, press enter, and then you press G for go-to, and then type Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word. If you are a new person, you can SSH over as new at sdf.org. It's N-E-W at sdf.org. And boom, you can go through the signup process there. It's really, really easy. And once you do, you can join up and hang out. So yeah, please check that out. It is 1902 UTC. So I'm a little bit behind, but not bad. Not totally bad. Also shout out to Jeff. Sorry I missed you. And Publius always has a fun show. You can go to anonradio.net or press the equal sign in com to see the schedule. It usually goes forward about 24 hours or so, so you can see what's coming up. After the show today is Dubious Goals Committee and then Internet Noises with DJ Leon G, which I have really enjoyed the last few weeks, so check that out, or go to the archives if you're busy and can't listen. All right, enough of all that housekeeping. We got a lot of news to talk about, and we'll go ahead and start the way we pretty much always start.
World news.
That's right, with the world news. This is almost tech news, but I thought it was really cool. Nigeria is going to conduct its first digital census in May. That's right. Africa's most populous country is ready to conduct its first digital census in May 2022. Nasir Issa Kwara, Nigeria's head of the National Population Commission, has announced the news on Monday. According to local sources, the official was away on a trip in Kaduna State when he disclosed the information. The NPC chairman started a few months ago a tour to the governors of the 36 states that the Federation encompasses. He was aiming to create public awareness on the upcoming census. So that's cool. I learned today there are 36 states for Nigeria. So, very cool. Let's see if we can get this to stay put. All right. More than 15 years after the last population count, new instruments and methodology will be introduced. We have the map data in our systems. Androids, which unlock the analog era, will make it very easy for a reliable and credible census, he told the reporters. I'm not sure if they mean Android phones or if they mean, like, data from Star Trek. Pretest exercises started last year before the completion of the enumeration area demarcation exercise, which involves dividing the country into small units easily covered by a team of enumerators during the census. According to the chairman, Kwara, a pretest is not the actual census, but the mirror through which we look at our readiness for the next census. Back in 2006, the population estimate was 140 million inhabitants, but this picture was contested by some groups. Nigerians from southern states claimed that estimate had been manipulated to favor the north. The exact date of the May 22nd exercise is awaiting approval by President Muhammadu Buhari. So, very cool, very fun. I think that'll be neat. One of my complaints in the U.S. is we seem slow to adopt these technological advances. So, like, electronic census, electronic voting, those kind of things. So, all right. I didn't start off with child death, but that's what's going on in Afghanistan. Still going on. But this one is a slower death. The start of a harsh winter is accelerating Afghanistan's humanitarian crisis. Since the Taliban's seizure of power and international sanctions, the economy has gone into freefall. The collapse of the previous Afghan government and the withdrawal of Western support have led to soaring unemployment. Few can afford to feed their families or heat their homes. 1 million children are at risk for severe malnourishment. The United Nations has now issued an urgent call for aid for the country. The BBC's former Afghanistan correspondent, Quentin Somerville, has returned to Kabul. And if you want, there is a touching video on BBC.com. If we go to France 24, we can get some more information about the UN stuff. So the United Nations said Tuesday it needed $5 billion in aid for Afghanistan in 2022 to avert a humanitarian catastrophe and offered the ravaged country a future after 40 years of suffering. In its biggest ever single country appeal, the UN said $4.4 billion, which is 3.9 billion euros, was needed within Afghanistan, while a further 623 million was required to support the millions of Afghanistan sheltering beyond its borders. Beyond its borders. The UN, hey, welcome Spring. Coming in from Beastie, the cool member of the cluster. The UN said 22 million people inside Afghanistan and further 5.7 million displaced Afghans in five neighboring countries need vital relief this year. A full-blown humanitarian catastrophe looms. My message is urgent. Don't shut the door on the people of Afghanistan, said UN aid chief Martin Griffiths. Help us scale up and stave off widespread hunger, disease, malnutrition, and ultimately death. So, we shall see what happens with this. There is still tremendous famine and lots of, less than 1 kilogram children dying in Yemen and in the Tigray. So we'll see if the UN can drum up any support for Afghanistan. It seems like if we just would unfreeze, they have more than $5 billion in assets that are just frozen in banks. They could just like unfreeze $5 billion in assets and it wouldn't cost anybody anything. But that's a hard sell because the Taliban could just use that money to buy weapons. He'd just buy guns with it instead of food. So, what a terrible mess. But such is life. We need to accept that there's terrible things in the world and work towards making them better if we can. But don't let it ruin your life or ruin your day. All right, I'm breathy today. All right, let's move on into Africa. Mali's junta leader is open to dialogue after sanctions. That's right, Mali's strongman leader, Assimi Goïta, said Monday Bamako remained open to dialogue after the West African bloc, ECOWAS, imposed stringent sanctions on the troubled Sahel country over delayed elections. Hey, Tobin Kom has announced he thinks he found his sequencer. So this should be a fun show. In a sharp escalation, after months of simmering diplomatic tensions, leaders from the Economic Community of Western African States, that's what ECOWAS stands for, on Sunday agreed to shutter borders with the state and imposed a trade embargo. That decision was backed on Monday by France, Mali's former colonial power at the UN Security Council. The West African bloc also agreed to cut financial aid, freeze Mali's assets at the Central Bank of West African States, and recall their ambassadors. Even if we regret the illegitimate, illegal, and inhumane nature of certain decisions, Mali remains open to dialogue with the ECOWAS to find a consensus, Goïta said on state TV. Goïta did not detail how his regime would respond to the stringent sanctions. If you remember yesterday, the story was that they closed off all flights to ECOWAS countries, so they don't allow flights in from those countries. The coordinated action against Mali followed a proposal by its army-dominated government last month to stay in power for up to 5 years before staging elections, despite international demands that it respect a promise to hold elections in February. So, We shall see how this plays out. Mali's junta has announced the recall of its ambassadors, kind of a reciprocal thing. Mali is a landlocked nation of 19 million people and is one of the poorest countries in the world. And so Malians have voiced concern on social media about the risk of future shortages because of the trade embargo. So we'll see how this plays out, but hopefully Mali gets with the program with the rest of its neighbors there, or else they're going to be really hurting. All right. Well, what else is going on? Be right back. What else is going on? Well, Moscow and NATO are having their troubles again. Moscow has said that ties between Russia and NATO are approaching a moment of truth ahead of a high-stakes talk over Ukraine. Deputy Foreign Minister Alexander Grushko's remarks on Tuesday followed negotiations a day earlier between Russian and American officials in Geneva, which launched a week of diplomacy aimed at easing tensions. A meeting of the NATO-Russia Council will take place in Brussels on Wednesday. It's no exaggeration to say that a moment of truth is coming in our relations with the alliance, Grushko was quoted as saying. Our expectations are entirely realistic, and we hope that this will be a serious, deep conversation on key fundamental problems of European security, he added, referring to the talks in Brussels. So, there's a lot going on in the world. This is going to be a really tense one. Moscow remained skeptical about progress on Tuesday, insisted it would stick to its position, that would not allow its demands to become mired in torturous negotiations. We will not be satisfied with the endless dragging out of this process, Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said. Peskov's remarks came after Linda Thomas-Greenfield, the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, told Al Jazeera on Monday that she wished, in quotes, to believe Russia's claim that it was not planning to invade Ukraine. But everything we've seen so far indicates they are making motions in that direction, she said during a press conference at the UN headquarters in New York. If they've decided not to move forward because of our engagement with them over the course of the past few weeks, then that's a good thing, but we'll continue to prepare and to plan for responding should they take any actions against Ukraine. Wednesday's talks will be followed by a meeting in Vienna of the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe on Thursday. So, it's going to be a tense discussion, and who knows? It's a big coin toss whether or not Moscow will go ahead and jump over there or not. Ooh, Toba's reporting he's going to have to get a tablet solely for reading manuals. I can support that. All right. Well, what else is going on? Well, for one thing,
get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Definitely music on the mind. But let's throw in a couple of cool stories before we do that, okay? So first, Antarctica. Invasive species are hitchhiking on ships. Kind of what happens all the rest of the world, too. Species from the world that are hitching a lift on ships threaten Antarctica's pristine marine ecosystem. That is the conclusion of a study tracking research, fishing, and tourist vessels that routinely visit the protected, otherwise isolated region. It revealed that ships from 1,500 ports around the globe visit Antarctica. Sorry about that. These ships travel all around the world. It means that almost anywhere could be a potential source for invasive species. Those non-native species, she explained, can completely change an ecosystem. They can create entirely new habitats that would make it harder for those amazing Antarctic animals to find their own place to live. The study published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences point to the need for more stringent measures to ensure that ships do not bring species that could disrupt Antarctica's fragile habitats. The research team from the British Antarctic Survey and the University of Cambridge used satellite data and international shipping databases to work out the weight of Antarctic drift and the origin of those ships. So yeah, this is going to be pretty neat, or very interesting to see, because you've got commercial traffic, you've got tourist traffic, and seas are warming. So It's just very scary. Professor Peck, one of the guys in the article here, says it was particularly important to clean the ship holes as ocean temperatures continue to rise. We know something will arrive if we leave things as they are. So, very neat. Hey, Spring has a post here. One thing that I heard recently made a lot of sense to me. Russia's baseline assumption is that in world affairs, the only reason that small countries do stuff is because they are the puppets of the great powers, US, China, Russia, etc. From this point of view, believing that a small country is acting on its own initiative is impossibly naive. Ah, thanks, Spring. That's a helpful look into what worldview or what position they're coming from. That's kind of neat. I'm going to think on that. All right, one other story. We're going to run out of time. Cloudy with the chance of soybeans? Town wakes to find a lair of legumes. What? That's right. Like most Canadians, residents of the city of Hamilton, Ontario, our Anon Radio favorite DJ Snowdusk, DJ Snowdusk, he lives in Ontario, Canada, the province, somewhere over there in a suburb. I know Hamilton's a suburb. I think it's a suburb. I don't know. Who knows geography? Not Americans. Like most Canadians, residents of the city of Hamilton, Ontario, are well used to waking to find their yards and houses coated in a mantle of white. But when they left their houses on a recent morning, they were surprised to realize it was not snow that had fallen in the night. At first, Adrian Van Halem thought the city authorities had accidentally sprayed salt across the roads, sidewalks, and yards of her neighborhood. But when I got closer, I realized it wasn't salt at all. They were white husks covering everything, she said. It was a snowfall of soybeans. That's right, folks. She shared images of her car to Reddit and a neighborhood group on Facebook, where some urged her to quickly contact the city. Others, however, said the occasional dump of soybean husks was part of life in Hamilton, an industrial city an hour southwest of Toronto. Growing up here, the snow was black and the car was dirty. Living near any factory, be prepared to have pollution and fallout, wrote one user. Van Halem, who lives down the street from a soya processing plant operated by U.S.-based Bunge, it's B-U-N-G-E, contacted the company to see if they had an explanation. The next day, she received a voicemail confirming the soya husks had been accidentally released after a filter malfunctioned. While the holes discharged posed no health or safety risk to either neighbors or employees, we understand that the residue was an annoyance for our neighbors. So you had to call them and ask them what the heck was going on. Van Halem says she received a gift certificate for a local car wash's cheapest cleaning package from the St. Louis-based company, whose revenues in 2020 exceeded $40 billion U.S. I appreciate the gesture because my car is still dirty from it, said Van Halem, and I get that it's one of the realities that comes with living in a semi-industrial area. So I just thought that was neat. I had no idea that people who live near industrial plants like that would got stuff rained down on them still. Wow, what a surprise. Anyway, I just thought that was kind of neat. So, such is life. Let's see if we've got any bean songs. Nope, just Pirates of the Caribbean. let's look for some rain. Here we go. My microphone's in front of my monitor, so it makes me lean around to see what's going on. All right. This song is called Who Will Stop the Rain? I hope it's not too quiet.
Watch the tower grow. Might be a plan. Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF. And SDF, well, that's powered by you, my friends. So thank you for listening, and thanks for tuning in. I wanted to acknowledge X1 is willing to sell nukes for your best sovereignty. Just contact X1 Incom and get your sovereignty trademark. Alright, well, you may hear some Pokemon music going on in the background. Well, that's because our next story comes to us from California, from Los Angeles, California. Two police officers were fired for chasing Pokemon rather than fleeing robbers, court documents show. The pair were parked nearby when a radio call came in for officers to respond to a shop robbery. But a review of their in-car camera footage showed they had been playing Pokemon Go and chose to pursue a nearby Snorlax, a relatively rare catch, instead of providing backup. A pair denied playing the game but were sacked after investigation. Details of the case emerged when the most recent documents about their appeal, which was dismissed, were spotted by Axios. After ignoring a radio call for backup for approximately the next 20 minutes, video captured the petitioners discussing Pokemon as they drove to different locations where the virtual creatures appear on their mobile phones, documents say. Louis Lozano and Eric Mitchell had been on patrol when Macy's department store was robbed on April 15th. This is pretty old, though. It's 2017. Another officer, Captain Davenport, who also heard the call, could see the shop and another police car parked in a nearby alley. Those nearby officers didn't respond to the call, so Captain Davenport did so himself and saw the other police car reverse down the alley and leave the area. The two officers later told a sergeant who'd been trying to contact them to provide backup they had not heard the radio. But the in-car camera footage revealed they discussed the call and decided not to respond. Instead, 5 minutes later, they could be heard talking about catching Pokemon. Officer Mitchell alerted Lozano that Snorlax just popped up at 46th and Lamert. The pair then left in that direction to embark on a 20-minute gaming session. They could be heard talking about the successful capture of Snorlax and how difficult the battle with Togetic, another Pokemon, was. The guys are going to be so jealous, Officer Mitchell said. So, yeah, pretty terrible, right? At least they weren't killing anybody. I mean, I guess that's a good thing. The petitioners admitted leaving. They were convicted, basically, of saying in the police justice system of failing to respond to a robbery call, making misleading statements, failing to respond to the radio when contacted, playing Pokemon Go on duty, and making false statements under investigation. The petitioners admitted leaving their footbeat area in search of Snorlax, but insisted they did so both as part of an extra patrol and to chase this mythical creature. So, oof, what a wild, silly thing to do. Speaking of wild and silly things, the Dubious Goals Committee is coming up in just about 5 minutes. It's going to be an adventurous time. It's always fun. So check it out. And if you're listening in the background, it's time to go ahead and turn it up because it's coming along. We'll be here soon. All right. But before the news ends, we've got to go ahead and go through our, headlines. Some stories we didn't quite get all the way through. First, a man in the United States gets a genetically modified pig heart in world first transplant. A U.S. man has become the first person in the world to get a heart transplant from a genetically modified pig. David Bennett, age 57, is doing well 3 days after the experimental 7-hour procedure in Baltimore. The transplant was considered the last hope of saving his life, but it's not clear yet what his long-term chances of survival are. "I was either die or do this transplant," Mr. Bennett explained a day before the surgery. "I know it's a shot in the dark, but it's my last chance." So, he woke up after surgery. Maybe he'll get to live a little while longer. Science has been advanced. Iran's foreign minister is in Qatar for talks after visiting Oman. The Iranian foreign minister is on a regional tour as talks in Vienna to restore the 2015 nuclear deal continue. And kind of an odd thing, a backwards, counterintuitive, France is easing COVID-19 rules for schools as infections soar. France on Monday announced an easing of COVID rules for schools. Those record high case numbers shut down thousands of classes and sparked concern among parents and teachers. North Korea fired another rocket, a suspected ballistic missile, second in a week. The launch was detected by Japan and South Korea and comes after six countries urged Pyongyang to end destabilizing actions. So you can read more about that at aljazeera.com. And police investigate allegations that Downing Street planned a BYOB party for more than 100 people. They got in trouble earlier this month, I think, actually, for having a Christmas party or planning to have a Christmas party and lying about it. Now, Prime Minister Boris Johnson is embroiled in another scandal over his government's alleged lockdown breaches. So now you can read all about that all over the place. And then Guantanamo. Al Jazeera has a nice piece about 20 years since Guantanamo, a legacy of injustice and abuse. So, very interesting, very fun. Shucks, I ended up rushing, and now we're done a little early. That's no fun. Let's see, I've got extra stories just off on the side here. Yesterday, the U.S. grounded planes as a precaution after the North Korea launch. So, an unusual ground stop was issued to some pilots for a short period of time following a North American Aerospace Defense Command alert of a launch of a North Korean missile. So, that's pretty neat. Or a little scary, I guess, depending on your position. An unusual ground stop was issued to some pilots for a short period of time. The official said it was not a national ground stop and may have been issued by a regional air traffic control facility. No warning was issued by NORAD HQ regarding a potential threat to the U.S. Federal Aviation Administration, responsible for the nation's air traffic control system, said the ground stop was to err on the side of safety. So, what's going on? Please enjoy the Dubious Goals Committee. Thanks for hanging out. Shout out to Dave B. 416. Thanks for joining up.
Well, that sound means
and everyone for listening.
Our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow.
Was I clipping on this microphone?
Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900.
Shout out, Ratsu.
BCC. Talk to you then.
Dubious. Smells.